looked at the first in just a two-part on what regular devotion times do for us. Devotion times, how many find it easy? One. Two. I don't see three. Devotion times are work. They really are. And for me, they've never ceased to be work. And I'm not talking about preparing for messages. I mean, to get into the Word of God and to get a sense that I'm actually hearing God and not just hearing my own ideas. And there are certain aids that I use. My favorite devotional, if you haven't figured it out yet, is My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. I'm slowly working my way through Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, Cost of Discipleship. I'm going to give you a warning. I need to know, can you remember, Justin, the name of the guy that does Three Little Pigs? Not right now. And I don't know if my struggle with Dietrich Bonhoeffer, because it's a translation from German into English. He also uses a lot of Greek and Latin. He uses words that I have to look up. And it just, you know, his working vocabulary was different than mine, obviously. What is the name of that comedian now? He's a Christian comedian. John Brennan. He does, and he does this in churches. He does Three Little Pigs. Shakespeare had a working vocabulary of literally tens of thousands, and the average North American has working vocabulary of under 5,000. And he does Three Little Pigs the way Shakespeare would have written it. And it makes you feel very inadequate in terms of your own vocabulary. Bonhoeffer does that for me. I'm reading it, and I have to put it down and think about it and reread it and look up a couple of words. I do well if I do 10 pages an evening of Bonhoeffer. It's work. Oswald Chambers is work, because he takes Scripture and he tries to make it applicable to your everyday life, and it is. Helen, you use it too, don't you? It is, and it's where it becomes work is it begins to be a challenge. You feel like God's putting His finger right on a sore spot that you need to deal with. You know, I think I shared with you a couple of weeks ago. I had some real difficulty at Kim and Jeremy's just doing certain normal everyday functions. So I decided I got to start doing some stretching exercises. So I began that, and I saw a thing on Facebook. I sent it to Helen because it was me. It was me. It said, when I was young, I used to get up and I would touch my toes 20 times. Now I get up and I have a cup of coffee and I wave at them. Yeah. Doing the stretching exercises is work. And doing devotions for me is work, because I don't want, head knowledge is one thing, but the Scripture says that knowledge puffs up. There are some people that know a lot about Scripture, but they're not really applying it in their lives. If I'm going to be an effective vessel for Christ, His Word has to be more than head knowledge. It's got to be something that begins to purge through my system. And that's where the work comes in. And sometimes when you feel like you're being buffeted a lot, it's easy to say, well, I'm just going to skip it. And the next thing you know, it's been 2 weeks down the road. Hello? Is that just me? Or is it's a challenge. And regular devotions is one of the keys to really abiding in Christ. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. When we're getting into the Scriptures, we're reading the truth. we're meeting, we're not just acquiring truth for knowledge's sake. Now, there is an application to that. I'm going to share that a little bit. But truth has to alter me. If I can encounter truth and I'm unchanged, then there's a wall of pride that says I don't need to change. And there's a continual breaking through. That needs to happen. When we get into regular devotional times, what we looked at last week, three of the initial things that happen. One is our fellowship increases, our fellowship with Christ, because that living word is Him. He is the Word, and the Word is Him. So we're not just getting, you know, black or red letters on a page. We're getting Jesus Christ. And there's a fellowship that begins to grow. And in 1 John it says, if we will walk in the light as He is in the light, you would think He would say, we'll have fellowship with God. But He says, if we'll walk in the light as He is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another. That our fellowship is based on the person Jesus Christ. And that, when that begins to grow in us, we begin to see people in a different light. In the one I was looking at, Bonhoeffer the other night, he talks about judge not, lest you be judged. And he talks about when Christ is really moving in your life, penetrating you, you don't look at people with critical eyes, because what you see in them, you know, is in you. Because you've encountered Christ and you're starting to see yourself in the light of His holiness, and then all of a sudden other people don't look quite as bad because you realize you're just like them. Hello? I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ, a very imperfect one, but that's my desire. And so if you see shortcomings in me, I'm aware of that. Or you of yours. You know? So fellowship is... The second thing we looked at was we won't wither, that we'll receive nutrition. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you knew the water I had to give you, John 4, he says, you would ask me for living water. If you take this water, you'll never thirst again. Well, it's not talking about natural hunger and natural thirst. It's talking about that spiritual element in us. It'll be met, and it's met through regular devotion. The third thing we looked at was we're appointed to be overcomers. You know, Gord, you shared, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We're appointed to be overcomers. But listen, if I'm not abiding in Him, the world's going to begin to overcome me. So there's that challenge that God wants to equip us, and they overcame in Revelation, they overcame him, the adversary, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Getting into regular devotions builds that. I want to look at three more this morning, and then we'll move into another aspect next week. I want to look at regular devotion times contribute to godly character. Major point number two is regular devotion times contribute to blessings, and regular devotional times contribute to an internal compass. I did something a year or two ago. I actually brought a compass in, and I talked about how the compass works, and that internal compass is important. God wants to lead me. But He can't lead me if I'm setting my own desires and patterns and goals and passions. You know, I don't know if you know this young man, JJ, very well. I don't know him very well. But I do know that you got a degree in library science. And he had a job offer in Regina. And he was assisting at the camp. And you chose not to take the job, because you felt God was saying, I want you at the camp. Some might think, what a waste of education. But you're... But God is leading you because you were seeking to abide with Him. And if I'm not abiding with Him, He can give direction, but I don't hear it. You know, that's a challenge for us. And again, for me, that's where devotional times really become work. Like, seriously, I sat up for 2 hours last night, not just mulling over the situation with my son, but mulling over my own responses and my own frustrations and how I had been praying and how God wanted me to pray. And I remember sitting in the chair muttering under my breath. Lynn was fortunately sleeping, and I hope she didn't hear me and distract. She's laughing, so maybe I did. But I really felt, God, I honestly don't know how to pray. Some people say to me, why do you think tongues are important, the gift of tongues? Because I don't know how to pray. I really don't. My frustrations and my desires and my anxieties get in there, and I just have to give it over to the Lord. And yes, I'm praying. I got no idea what I'm praying for, but I believe it's the Holy Spirit, and whatever the Spirit's praying is going to come through, you know. And Romans 8, it says that we don't know how to pray as we ought, and He gives forth moanings and groanings that can't be uttered. There's a deep move. And if I'm not being moved, I'm not really having devotionals. I'm just reading. So I find devotional times, to me, are very challenging, and they're very hard because I know where I'm at, and I have a concept in my mind of where I think God wants me to be. And I'm not talking about geographic location. I'm talking about just being in relationship and fellowship with Him. And regular devotional times really helps to set an internal compass. So let's look at this. Major point number one. Regular devotional times contribute to godly character. I've shared this before, and I'm sharing it again, and too bad. Repetition is the mother of skill. One of the first messages that really impacted me after I became a Christian, Stan Rukin and I were living and working, and we were getting ready to go to Bible college. We were in Portland, Maine. That was his home, and my parents, my dad was the postmaster there. We went down to Cowichan Camp, and we got there late because we went after work. This is down island from where we were. We got in late. We didn't want to wake anybody up and trying to find a place to sleep, so we just slept in the car. And then Al Jorgensen was there from Port McNeil. He thought it'd be hysterical to set off an acetylene bomb. And in the valley of Cowichan River there, it boomed. And I'm amazed that that Ford Torino didn't end up with a sunroof because we just bolted out of our seats. And we weren't saying, oh, praise God. Then we had breakfast, and we went in, and Al Mortensen was the morning teacher, and I'm still a little irritated at the wake-up call. And Al Mortensen speaking, and he's referencing, actually, Romans 8, is that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And he goes on, and he says, God is more interested in your character than in your circumstances. Boy, did that do an overhaul. And I thought about it last night even, you know, that how I'm responding to that particular situation in Red Deer was not edifying me or God or anybody else. So the issue was not the issue there. The issue is the issue here. Are you with me? There's things here that need to be adjusted. God wants to build character in us. And that doesn't come haphazardly. It comes through the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be... Oh, you got that? No, we're going to do these two, then the slide. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It's not talking about your work environment. It's talking about those you're connected with. Are you abiding in Christ? Are you with Him? And listen, the Bible says that bad company corrupts good manners. Wrong fellowship will draw you away from Christ, not into Christ. And in your work environment, you might be unequally yoked, but you're there as light and salt. You're there on a mission. You're not there to be edified. You're there to nurture and edify others. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? This is not just talking about a marriage relationship. Okay? Who are your best friends? The people I regard as best friends are in this place. You know, there are some unique situations here that I cherish. Amos 3 and 3 says, do two walk together unless they agree to meet? Can two walk together except they be agreed? We slept in yesterday morning. I'm getting out of bed and my wife rolls over and she looks at me and says, weren't you supposed to go to a men's meeting this morning? No, it's not until November. She said, well, I thought Justin said they were going. Now, I'm not upset that I didn't get an invitation to go paintballing because I would have probably said no anyway. Especially after sitting beside him this morning. Oh, God, so much pain. I haven't done so much running. You know, and that Mark Berry, he's an animal. He wanted to join us. And his military training came through because he had no fear and he was just, right? Yeah. You know? So I wasn't there because I wasn't invited. And I'm not upset. Okay? I'm relieved. At 72, believe me, I'm relieved. But you don't walk together unless you agree, right? And that's why you need to know from the men who's going to be there on November 5th. We've got to agree to meet, you know? And can we have cake that morning too? It's his birthday. Hey? I said that, but that's cheaping it out. Can we not have cinnamon buns and a cake? It's a birthday. Okay? Let's go to the slide. Don't be unequally yoked. You know? You can't plow a straight furrow if you're unequally yoked. You know? Okay? Samson, he said, I want to see how this works into your message. Romans 12 and 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And I got after that. When you're confronted with something, and we prayed about that this morning, about something that's happening here in town. Listen, the world is trying to press us into that mold. That all of these things are good and acceptable. No, they're not. They're not. We need to repent, renounce, and be renewed. And that happens through the Word of God. God will put his finger on, you know. Well, I don't see anything wrong with that lifestyle. Then get into the Bible and see what God says about it. You know, your opinion may have some validity, but not compared to what the Almighty says. You know? Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self. There are things, this is one of the reasons that I find, for me, devotions is a real task. Because God is continually saying, you need to address this. And not to the congregation, you need to address this in your life. There's a putting off. And I'm not talking about procrastinating, I'm saying there's some things that, John, you just got to take off in order to put the new on. You know, how many have ever tried to put a new pair of shoes on in a store while you're still wearing the old ones? Doesn't work. You know, unless you're buying rubber, you know, the gum boot, the slide, you know, Putting stuff off. I've never found that overly comfortable. When I accepted Christ, I believe in miracles, because when I accepted Christ, alcohol ceased to be an issue, and it had been a big issue in my life. And I was a banker. Well, what does that mean? It means I was somewhat cheap, too. Helen, that was your opportunity to say amen. I didn't want to just throw the bar out. I had a couple of friends in the building that I lived in, you know, and they weren't alcoholics like I was. They enjoyed a drink. So I gave my bar, and it was never an issue. Never an issue. I know some that came to Christ, and being set free from alcohol was a task. God looked at me and said, I know you can't do it. I'll take it away. So there are some things that the putting off God just sovereignly did. But there's other things I've had to put away. And it's not even easy. Putting the old self away and it, with its practices. And have put on the new self with its renewed knowledge in the image of its creator. For me to put certain things on, there were things God said, you've got to take this off. Hello? And if you can't think of anything in your life that needs to be put off, I would suggest you need to get into some devotions. Because with all due respect and courtesy to everyone here, none of us has attained unto the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ yet. Somewhere in our life, things are out of whack. You know, Bonhoeffer spends several chapters talking about Matthews 5 and 6. Ouch. You know. First Peter 2, 1 to 3. So put away. I underlined these, and I'm so grateful that they were left in. Put away. There's things that have got to be put away in my life. So put away all malice. And seriously, at midnight last night, I was irritated. I was ticked. I thought, what kind of management group is this? Did they not have a management plan? Did they not have, you know, like, and the more I thought about the bad management, the more irritated I got. You know? Hello? Can I tell you how big a help that was? Zero. Had to put it away. Put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants long for pure spiritual milk. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. But if I'm being satisfied by the things of the old man, I never get that thirst. And there's some things that I just... In the last 6 months, there was a couple of things that God, I really felt God saying, you need to cut this off. Probably should have told my wife about the one. That by it you may grow up into salvation. Now, I've shared it in devotionals here. Salvation is in three tenses. You have been saved. That happened when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are being saved. That is the transformation of your character. So it's a done work. It's a work that's being done. And it's going to be a completed work. When we see Him, we shall be like Him. And I think that's partly why in the New Testament, the disciples, those that were coming to Christ, were called those of the way. Follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's a process happening, but it was initiated, and in the counsel of God, when you accepted Christ, it was done. It was a completed deal right there. You know? The thief on the cross didn't have to go through discipleship training and 4 years of seminary before Jesus could say to him, this day you'll be with me in paradise. He confessed Jesus Christ. Done deal. This day you'll be with me in paradise. But that was the end of his earthly walk, too. As we walk with Jesus, guess what? I encounter myself along the way, and I discover there's a lot of stuff I got to put off in order to put on. And when will that be done? There was a teaching that was happening years ago out of North Battleford around 1948. You know, talking about, you know, I've been so touched by God that if Jesus were to walk in the room, you wouldn't know the difference between Him and me. Really? Well, for one thing, I'll recognize Him by the scars in His forehead and the scars in His palms. You won't have them. We missed the mark. We're in the process. And we're doing it together. But when we see Him, for us, experientially, by our experience, by my awareness, it will be completed. but it was completed back there. Amen? No. He says, you got to grow up into this. And it's not comfortable. I remember, was that, I think it was when Jeremy came up from, on the reading break, they came up from the States and we were going to Yorktown and Johnny was complaining, my feet are hurting. And Lynn takes him into the shoe store and he'd got new shoes. And he had grown three sizes? Yeah. My feet are, listen, if you're telling me that growing up in your Christian life has caused you some pain at times, amen. Amen. Growing up isn't always easy. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Okay. That's the driving impulse. I've tasted it once. I'm not going to let it go. Okay. Major point number two, regular devotional times contribute to blessings. That as I'm in regular devotional times, God begins to give insight and he begins to pour out blessings that before I could not handle. You know, I remember as a big deal when I was a kid growing up. Now, I'm old, okay, so get over it, you know. When I was a kid growing up, Dad would give me a nickel. Well, what does a nickel get you today? You know, I could get a bag of candy, you know. But I always thought, you could give me more. You know, I seen your change in your pocket, you know. But I didn't know what to do with it. Okay, growing up into Christ, he can entrust more to us. He that is faithful in a few things will be given much, right? That's the scripture. Okay? Hosea 4 and 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. John, you really don't know what to do. John, you really don't know how to pray. John, you don't really know where to go. You're right, Lord, I don't. Okay, John, I got an easy solution for you. Yeah, what is it? Follow me. Just follow him. Abide with him. You know? I don't know what God's plans for this place is. But can I tell you something? He knows. And as we walk with him, we'll experience the blessing of God and we'll sit back and we'll go, boy, that wasn't us. Hello? We'll know it was God. God's at work. All he wants me to do is walk with him faithfully. He says, I will reject you from being a priest to me since you have forgotten the law of your God and I will also forget your children. Now, listen, I put in scripts that's Old Testament teaching, but is there application for us? Listen, if I refuse to walk with God, and will he withhold function from me because I can't be trusted? You know, he who is faithful little will be given much. You know, and you know, remember the parable of the talents? Five produced five, two produced two, and the one he was afraid, so he hid it and he lost it. There's application there. You know? So John, get into the word regularly, consistently. 1 Peter 2:9-10, but you are a chosen race. You are. You are a chosen race. A holy nation. A people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellency of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's our primary purpose of being here. You know, how many think heaven's probably better than this? How many think heaven is definitely better than this? Some of the mismanagement here on earth just drives me nuts. I sent to Helen and Dave yesterday morning and to Cheryl a thing that I found. This newscaster was interviewing people in this small New Hampshire town, and I'm in the washroom and I'm just roaring in laughter. The government, as part of their infrastructure development, are investing $12 million in this little town. And it's a dying little town. The downtown, Wolseley's got more of a downtown than they do. And you know what they're going to do? They've started it. They're putting $12 million into that town to put in heated sidewalks in the downtown. And they're interviewing people. They said, did you guys vote on this? Do you want this? We don't want this. This is stupid. They're doing that in New York, and then it freezes over, and people fall and get hurt. We don't need that. We need clinics. We need this. We need that. They're talking to this one young guy, and he says, I got 32 years experience in life. And he says, my conclusion is that somebody's getting money out of this, and it's not us. And he says, but I guess there's an advantage. We have a lot of homeless because of drug addiction and alcoholism here. And if they heat the sidewalks, they'll have a place to sleep. And he was being sarcastic, you know. But there's a kingdom coming that is way better than this. You know? We're perishing for lack of knowledge. And I literally had tears in my eyes. I thought, you got to be kidding me. What frivolousness, what waste. You know, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Listen, with God's kingdom, there is no foolish investments. There are no foolish development plans. God is investing in you personally, and he invites you to meet him on a regular basis in the Word of God, to encounter him, to behold his majesty, to see his glory, to hear the wonders that he has done. And all these things were written unto you, unto whom the end of the ages has come, as examples. God says, what I've done before, I want to do yet. Are you willing, John? Will you walk with me in the light of my word, in the light of knowledge? 2 Peter 1:4, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. That's not talking about heaven. That's talking about here. That we would experience and sense, you know, I don't like it here. This place is filled with God. Right.
Hallelujah.
You know, that's the goal, is to bring the reality of God into a world that's perishing. You know, we got a better deal than heated sidewalks. You know, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Is that second or first? Yeah, second. Good. I'm just about there. I'm in 1 Corinthians. One more to go. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them. Don't be unequally yoked. It's not talking about your work environment. You know, it's talking about meaningful relationships that you thought you had. You know, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. And that's what devotions does. It begins to say, John, you're yoked to something that you shouldn't be yoked to. And sometimes snapping the yoke isn't easy. Regular devotional times contribute to a strong internal compass. I don't know if you remember the illustration of the compass. There's a mirror and a compass, and it's actually so that you can hold the compass at eyesight to see, you know, so you're not degrees off. But when it's here, you can't read the compass, and that's what the mirror's for. You know, my dad always told me that, you know why there's a mirror and a compass? And I said, no, Dad. He says, so you can see the fool that's lost. You know, and the Word of God is our mirror, showing us where we're missing the mark. You know, and He wants us to develop a strong internal compass that when something begins to happen, when our sister says there's something happening in town and it is just grieving my spirit, you know what that is? Your internal compass is being attacked. And you're saying, this isn't right. You know, you don't have to think about it or speculate it. The internal compass just goes, bang, that's wrong. You know, and we're losing that in their, you know, there's a movement among many North American churches saying that all of these behaviors are okay. No, they're not. Yes, really is. You know, our natural unregenerated inclinations, Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, that the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Okay? The world says, no, this is okay. This is all right. That's all right. You know, don't worry about it. You know. For goodness sakes, a prominent North American teacher has a large congregation is saying, you don't need 66 old manuscripts that don't have validity today. All you need to do is focus on Jesus. It's those 66 manuscripts that tell me who Jesus is. He walked with them on the road of Emmaus, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he began to unfold to them who Jesus was. We need that. Without that, you don't know who he is. You don't know that he's the soon coming king and that he's coming again. You know? And people are buying into this. And when you reject that, then then your opinion becomes valid. Well, my opinion is valid. No, when it stands against the truth, it may not be valid. You know? Well, don't you think there's many ways to God? You might think so, but my book says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, it's not one of many. He's the way. John 10, I am the good shepherd. All of the others who've come in were thieves and robbers. You know? And we touched on that last week. The regenerated nature. John 10, 3 and 4. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. This is the internal compass. You begin to hear your name. You know, when I'm praying at night and I'm struggling with something, I always hear, oh, Bob, or oh, Justin, or oh, Larry. I hear John. I might pray for Bob and Larry and Justin, but when God's speaking, he's speaking to me about me, what I need to change. You know? What I need to have addressed. The sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Can we have the next insert, please? That's a very different way than we do it in North America. You know, we got sheepdogs that chase them to where they're supposed to be. But in the Middle East, they walk before the sheep and the sheep follow them. You know? Jesus, you know, there was an old Kingsman song, you know. The captain knows the way. He's been this way before. Trust the captain, you know. Walk with the captain. He knows where he's going. Follow him. It's safe. Amen? You know? Romans 8:4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's always one or two sheep they're going to wander off. You know, one of the things they used the staff for, I don't know if you're aware of this, it was Philip Keller's book on the 23rd Psalm that brought this to my awareness, that they would dislocate a leg on the sheep. And then the shepherd would carry the sheep for several days, wherever they went, and set them down and carry it again. And then he'd reset the leg. And after that, the sheep always stayed close to the shepherd. And every once in a while, I walk with some pain because I've been dislocated more than once. Jacob wrestled all night with an angel. He said, bless me. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And he changed his name from Jacob to Israel, man ruled by God. And he dislocated his leg. And when you have an encounter with God, when you wrestle with God in a devotional time, you will never walk the same again. He'll change something in you. Your walk will change. Is it comfortable? No. But it's essential. John 16, 7 to 11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world. That includes you. Concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin because they do not believe in me. What areas of my life do I not believe God in? Do I believe that God loves my son as much as I do? Do I believe that he cares for me as much as I do? Do I believe that God has got a plan for him? And around 12:30 last night, I wasn't totally persuaded. And I go through this cycle regularly. It's not like, you know, I'm like the pilgrim. Dump the sack at the cross, and then when I go to leave, pick it up and carry it again. Hello? You know? Do I believe? Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. John, do you have faith in what I'm doing? Listen, get your internal compass aligned with me. Josh isn't coming in for the closing hymn, I take it? Psalm 25 is not in your notes. I was doing some devotional reading yesterday, and we stopped at the store yesterday. There's a young lady that, she's a grandmother already, but she's much younger than I am.